Chapter number 14 this evening, and the book of Proverbs, of course, a book of wisdom. And I hope this evening that as we look at this verse of Scripture that we'd be encouraged and challenged. And this verse of Scripture, actually, we're provided with a contrast here in verse number 1 of Proverbs 14. And I will focus our attention this evening on the first part of the verse, but I will read the entirety of the verse and note the contrast, and then we'll look at the text this evening. Notice in Proverbs 14 in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." As we look at this contrast that is provided here, obviously you could preach a message on the contrast between the wise and foolish and the behavior and the activity and the result and so on and so forth. But I want to focus our attention this evening for just a few minutes on this thought of building up. And as we look at the first part of Proverbs 14 in verse number 1, when the wise man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house." I do not believe this evening that Solomon is speaking about lumber and nails and drywall. Rather, I believe that as he's speaking here about the wise woman building her house, he's speaking about the family. He's speaking about the inhabitants of that home, the individuals, the family. And so we begin to think about the phraseology here in the building up. I am reminded of the New Testament word edify. We're familiar with the word in the New Testament as we study throughout the New Testament and how that we've been encouraged that we're to be engaged in edifying one another. And as we begin to think this evening about this word edify in the New Testament, we will look at a number of verses in the New Testament. The word edify literally means to build up. It means to promote growth in another's life. I want you to think about that from the perspective of the wise woman that is mentioned here in Proverbs 14. In verse number 1, "Every wise woman buildeth her house." As we think about that New Testament admonition that we're to edify, and the idea of not only building up, but promoting growth in another's life. And we can ask ourselves the question this evening, how can I promote growth, spiritual growth, in someone else's life? How can God use me? Can God use me to promote spiritual growth in someone else's life? Obviously, God can use us to do that because He instructs us to edify one another. And if He instructs us to do it, then not only are we capable of doing it through His power and with His help, but we understand this evening that we are responsible to do it. We are responsible to have this ministry of edifying one another, building up. This evening, as we think about this subject and we think about the opportunity, even as we mentioned this morning, not only for this on Mother's Day, to think about moms building up, edifying, promoting spiritual growth in the lives of their children, but I think about broad application for us as the people of God and as the opportunity that we have. As you study the New Testament, you understand that there are many references about one another commands. And one of them is this one that we're speaking of this evening, of edifying one another. And we have that responsibility. We can speak this evening specifically about mothers in their homes and building up their house and promoting spiritual growth in the lives of their children. But then we broadly apply it to each and every one of us here this evening. And we can ask ourselves the question, who is it that God has placed in my life that I am to be edifying? Who is it that as I evaluate my life and my sphere of influence, who is it that I am promoting spiritual growth in their lives? Perhaps we could even evaluate it from this perspective. Who is edifying me? There should be someone that we can look to, that we can understand that this person, you know, as I evaluate my life, man, that person, they're constantly encouraging me, but they're also edifying me. They're promoting Christian growth in my life. Those are good kind of people to hang around with, amen? It's a blessing to be around someone that is challenging us in our walk with Christ. It is good for us to be someone that is challenging someone else in their walk with Christ, that we're edifying them, that we're promoting Christian growth in their lives. And so how can we do that? And let me offer just three quick thoughts this evening. The list is obviously not exhaustive tonight. We could spend several weeks dealing with ways in which we could edify one another. But I just have three simple thoughts for you this evening. I would say this. Number one, we can offer praise. And when I speak about offering praise, we can use our speech as we think about this truth of edifying. We can use our speech in such a way to edify one another. And we think about the power of the tongue. In fact, as we're here in the book of Proverbs, turn back a chapter or two, back to Proverbs chapter number 12. And I want you to see what is said to us about our words. Of course, as you study the entirety of the book of Proverbs, there is much that God says about our words in the book of Proverbs throughout the whole of Scripture. But really, as you focus on the book of Proverbs, you'll see many references to the tongue and to our speech. And here in Proverbs 12 and verse 25, notice the Bible says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop." But then notice this, "But a good word maketh it glad." A good word. You know, has there ever been a time in your life where you had a heavy heart? No doubt, every one of us, we've dealt with circumstances and situations in our lives where we've had a season in our life where we've had a heavy heart over something that has taken place. And in the time of having that heavy heart, we can acknowledge this evening that a good word maketh it glad. The reality is that as we interact one with another as a body of believers, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that at times, maybe at this particular season, they have a heavy heart over something that's going on in their life, some circumstance that you or I, we may not even know about it. But a good word maketh it glad. It's amazing how God can use our speech to edify, to build up. Notice in Proverbs 18 and verse number 21. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 21, it's very interesting when you think about the power of our tongue. And this verse of Scripture defines it this way. It says this in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How are we using our speech? How are we using our tongue? Are we using our words to edify someone, to build up? The reality is that in the home, as we think about that launch point this evening from Proverbs 14 and verse number 1, no doubt a mother in the home, as she's that wise woman, buildeth her house, that she can use her words to build up the family members. And we understand as a family of God, as a body of believers, that the power of our tongue, are we using our speech to build up, to edify? Notice again in Proverbs 25 and verse number 11, in Proverbs 25 and verse number 11, notice here, the Bible says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." A word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. It's amazing there are times in which the Holy Spirit of God will prompt us maybe to give a word of encouragement to someone. In today's environment, I many times have this prompting where it's I'm praying for individuals and God will just impress upon my heart that you need to send that person a text message. We have that ability to be able to send a note to each other very quickly in our society today. And there are times in which I receive text messages. Sometimes I receive text messages from people that I haven't heard from in a long time. I heard from one of our missionaries this morning, and I've not heard a personal communication from them in a little while. It's been several months, in fact. I've received communication to the church, but I got a text message, "Hey, brother, I'm just praying for you." That was encouraging. And the reality is that there are times in which we think about the power of our tongue and a word fitly spoken. It is described as being, it's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. In the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, we think about this truth of using our speech and using our tongue in order to edify one another. In Ephesians 4, we have at this latter part of this chapter in Ephesians 4 some very instructive points that are made to the children of God, and really practical lessons that are given to us, very quick points that Paul is dealing with in the lives of the believers. Notice in verse number 29, he says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." But notice what he says, "But that which is good to the use of edifying." Notice what it says, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." No doubt there's been a time in our lives when we've been the recipient of such speech, that it has, someone has used their speech in the manner in which is dealt with at the latter part of Ephesians 4:29. They've used their speech in a way to edify, and it's ministered grace in our lives. And as we make that determination that I want to be engaged in that type of speech, that I want to use speech that will edify one another, that will build up, that will encourage them, that will promote Christian growth in their lives. I think of this, not only that we can use our tongue in order to offer praise and to give edification to people, but think about this, a simple thought. Number two, remind them of God's promises. We did not sing the song this evening. Perhaps if we had gone through more opportunities of favorites, someone along the line may have said, "Standing on the Promises." It's a great song. And the reality is that when you think about the promises that God has given us in His Word, they ought to cause us to rejoice greatly. And we think about the promises, and here's the reality is that there are times in our lives in which we need to be reminded of God's promises. There are times in our lives where we're dealing with difficulty, and perhaps as we're dealing with that difficulty, that if someone would remind us of a promise that God has given in His Word, it can encourage us, it can edify and build us up and promote some growth in our lives. But we also understand that God could use us to remind others of God's promises. You know, if I don't know God's promises, I can't really encourage you with God's promises. Seems pretty simple, but what a great understanding this evening. I can't encourage you, I can't edify you with a promise from God's Word if I don't know promises from God's Word. And as we study the Word of God and we read the promises of God's Word and we begin to take and to meditate upon those, then God will use us and use His Word to edify others. Think about this, what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 1. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, it's interesting as you begin to think about the life of Peter, and we often can relate to Peter, and I have in my mind's eye a picture of Peter as a fisherman, a big kind of bold guy, and I mean just kind of rough around the edges, so to speak. And but he got saved by the grace of God, and his life was changed. And all of a sudden, this fisherman, he starts using words like precious. And that's kind of interesting to me. You see it in his writings. And here in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4, notice what Peter says. He says, "Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Exceeding great and precious promises. But when we speak about the promises of God, though we can speak about them collectively as the promises of God, it is important for us to know them individually. And as we know the promises of God individually, as we can run to the Word of God and we can rehearse promises that God has given us in His Word, then God can use us to edify one another through sharing a promise with a brother or sister in Christ. Remember what God said. Can I remind you of what God said? You know, Peter says here as he's writing to these that are just dealing with some difficulty, especially here in the book of 2 Peter, and he's dealing with these that have just suffered and all that they're dealing with. Notice what he says in verse number 13 of chapter 1. He says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And you think about that idea of putting someone in remembrance. He says that, I know that you know these things, but I want to remind you of these things. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we can have great knowledge and remembrance of the truth of God's Word and the promises of God's Word when someone else is going through a trial. But sometimes when we're going through the trial, all of a sudden we have like amnesia, right? Doesn't that happen sometimes? Seriously. We're going through the trial and all of a sudden we are failing to be able to recall the promises of God. Why? Because we're under it, so to speak. We're dealing with the weight of the situation and the turmoil that we're dealing with. And oh, that God would use somebody else maybe to edify me and remind me of a promise that God has given. Quickly, number three, let them know that you're praying for them. It's so simple. It really is. But you know, it's so important to be engaged in the ministry of intercessory prayer. One of the greatest things that we could do for one another as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to pray one for another. Sometimes we feel like we ought to be able to do something more. But if we really sit back and just evaluate, it is absolutely the greatest thing we could ever do for someone is pray for them. To pray for them. We were talking at the house this afternoon, and someone made a comment about praying for someone else, and they made this comment with regard to the timing in which they would pray, and it reminded me of something that I read of Dr. Lee Robertson many years ago. Of course, he's with the Lord now, but Lee Robertson pastored a church down in Tennessee. A huge Tennessee temple was down there, and just a huge church, thousands and thousands of members. And he would often be asked by members of the church to pray for this or pray for that. And he found that if he didn't stop and do it right then, he would forget. He would get clouded and something else would come up and so on and so forth. And so he would make it a point in his life and his ministry that he would just stop immediately and he would pray for whatever that need is or was that the person would share with them. Notice what Paul says to the believers in Philippi. I hope these words would encourage you. In fact, this evening we could spend, literally we could spend an hour or two going through all of the references within the Word of God where someone is saying, I'm praying for you. I mean, it's just the references are many throughout the Word of God. But I want you to see, and often we find then in the greetings that Paul offers to the either individuals or churches that he's writing to, he will mention something about praying for them. As we think about the truth of God's Word, it's not just a cliche. It's not just a, oh, this has to be included in the introductory statements of this letter or this correspondence that I'm praying for you. No, Paul was engaging in the ministry of intercessory prayer on behalf of these believers. Notice in verse number 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice what he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, notice what he says, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Now, when the believers at Philippi in this church, when they receive this letter and they read those words, do you think they were being encouraged and being edified and being built up? I mean, he's reminding them of promises. He says in verse 6, it's something that we claim in our lives, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh man, that's encouraging. That's building me up. That's edifying me. And Paul says, here's how I'm praying for you. He says, because you're in my heart, you're in my prayers. Because he makes it clear in verse number 7 that he has them, because I have you in my heart. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in verse number 4, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. It's an absolute blessing to be able to be engaged in the ministry of intercessory prayer. You know, when we tell someone that we're praying for them, first of all, we shouldn't say it if we're not doing it. That should go without saying. But the reality is that we're seeking to edify, to build them up, to encourage them in the ways of the Lord. And as you study the prayers of Paul, we don't have time this evening to make much comment on this, but the reality is that as you study the prayers of Paul throughout the New Testament for those that he's ministering to, you know what he does is just what we read there in Philippians 1. He doesn't just say, I'm praying for you, but he says, here's how I'm praying for you. When someone's praying for you that you're growing in your walk with Christ and that your walk with Christ is richer and deeper than it has been before, man, that's stirring us up and that's edifying us. That's promoting growth, Christian growth, spiritual growth in our lives. So Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house. As we think this evening of a broad application as a family of God, a church, a body of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are we building up? Who's building us up? Someone ought to be edifying us, but we ought to be edifying someone else, because we've been given the instruction in the New Testament, the responsibility to edify one another. And you know, the reality is you study the book of 1 Corinthians, when you think about spiritual growths and spiritual gifts, and you look at the spiritual growths in the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find several times that Paul says that these are to be used for the edifying of the church. God didn't give us a spiritual gift so that we could say, look at the gift I have. He gave us a spiritual gift so that we would edify one another. And what a joy to be involved in the promotion of Christian spiritual growth in the life of another. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening, and it's such a joy to sing the great hymns of the faith and to be encouraged through the words of those songs. And I thank you for the ladies of our church. I thank you for the day in which we've set upon our calendar in this nation to honor mothers. And God, we pray that as we've briefly looked at this thought from Proverbs 14:1 and looking at these various portions of Scripture, that you would help us, Lord, to be engaged in the ministry of building up. I pray that we are being edified, but I pray, God, that we are edifying someone else. Would you help us to be purposed in fulfilling the responsibility that you've given us to edify one another? I pray, God, that as we leave this place in just a little while, that you would help us as we go throughout our week to honor and glorify you. We pray that in this moment of invitation that you would move and work as only you can. Well, thank you for each decision that's made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with